So you and the LCV, the League of Conservation Voters, you'll be talking about, from what I read, renewable energy and energy efficiency standards seem to be kind of the main topics. What in particular will you guys be focusing on?
Well, so the purpose of the town hall is to get feedback from people in the community about where they want Michigan's energy policy to go. You know, we're at the point where our current energy policy is sunsetting. And so this is a chance for us to say, where do we want to move for the future? The big piece of energy that I've been talking about has been about both renewing and then increasing our clean energy standard here in the state of Michigan. I think we can do way better than the current 10%. I challenge us to get to 20% by 2022. And then I also have recently co-sponsored legislation under Sam Singh that would increase our energy efficiency standards. And the reason there is just simply, you know, saving energy is good for everybody. Basically, if you spend a dollar on efficiency, you usually get $4 back. And I think that's a great investment. So the purpose is to sort of see what other people think about these issues or see if there's other good ways that we can help, you know, increase clean energy and, you know, and put us on a really long-term sustainable track.
Yeah. And that was the big topic that I wanted to talk about. You was specifically about the differing energy plans that are going around right now in the legislature and from the governor. And I know that the Democrats have released their own plan. Are you in support of that? Do you differ from that plan at all?
Well, I support the plan, but I actually was one of the voices in the caucus saying we can do even more. So when we saw that Governor Snyder was coming out with a, you know, 30 or 40% renewable plan by 2025, you know, I thought it was an interesting point because we're not the most aggressive in the conversation. But for me, I've said this so many times, but I don't think we ever should bet against American, you know, innovation or American ingenuity. And clean energy is really about being on the forefront of saying, how do we create security for America through producing our own energy? And how do we do it in a way that puts public health and our planet's well-being at the front and center of that conversation? You know, if you look at asthma rates in the state of Michigan, they're 10% higher than the national average. And that's because the energy we use pollutes our air, right? And like, when you think about the fact that we still obviously need hydrocarbons. So you need things like natural gas and oil to make America work and to make Michigan work. I think that's fine. But we shouldn't, from a policy perspective, saying, well, we hit 10%, so I guess let's stop working. You know, let's keep pushing it. Let's go further. Let's try to get, you know, like I said, 20 by 22, which is what the Democratic caucus has said, or let's go even further. Let's, you know, maybe we can hit 30 or 40 by 2025. But we have to do it in a way that really centers on clean energy jobs, clean energy security, and clean energy health.
In your perspective, what parts of clean energy, are there particular industries that you want to see promoted as a way to get there?
We have to be really careful when we're talking about clean energy that we are talking about the types of energy that are sustainable and renewable. You know, some folks, you know, such as Representative Nesbitt, have offered a plan that would allow us to count burning of our trash and potentially, you know, hazardous or toxic materials as part of our renewable energy portfolio. I think that's really disingenuous. And I say that because, you know, there's a place where we need to continue to burn some sort of biomass. And I think that's important. But at the same time, we shouldn't be burning hazardous materials to meet our renewable energy standard. And, you know, based on what the current plan, it would actually result in essentially no pressure on us doing more for things that people expect, wind, solar, hydropower. And instead, it would allow us to dilute that energy by, you know, burning trash or chemicals. And worse, it actually also then takes away some of the caps that says, like, that energy has to be from the state of Michigan and will allow it to purchase energy from out of state. So other states would be able to sell us the clean energy that they produce with their clean energy jobs, and we'd be paying for that. I mean, come on, that's backwards. Let's make those jobs, make that energy, you know, make those health benefits right here in Michigan.
Sure. So the 20% is interesting to me because when you look across the nation, most states have higher than 20% already as their standard. So is there a certain goal that you want to see right now? Is 20% still that goal, or are you kind of, do you want to see it pushed even further?
I would love to see it go further. You know, I think the next point was, how do we set an achievable benchmark? You know, and I think for a lot of people that have either, you know, that have set goals in their life, right? Maybe we're losing 5 pounds, or maybe it's trying to run a little faster, or, you know, save up for a car, or whatever it is. You need to set increments to get there. And so this is saying, in the next short term, you know, in the next 7-8 years, let's take a look at saying, how, you know, what's an achievable goal? So let's go from 10% to 20% renewable energy in the state of Michigan. And if we blow through that goal, awesome. You know, maybe we're going to say, maybe we can hit that 30 or 40%. I think the sky's the limit. And when we're talking about renewable energy, I mean, you know, the sky really is the limit.
Sure. For this actual energy plan right now, do you want it to be including a plan that doesn't just go out to 2022, but has those goals for the future at the same time?
From a public policy perspective, I think we can set a vision of where the state should be going, and that has to be more energy security, energy independence, and clean energy jobs. When we set specific benchmarks in statute, I think it's important that we are forecasting in the near term. So there's an urgency to get the job done now, instead of allowing some to slip and saying, well, we'll hit the next benchmark and get caught back up. So by really having one shorter term specific benchmark, it forces you to hit it.
And you mentioned Governor Snyder's budget earlier, and I know that budget kind of stood out because of that 30 to 40% number. Do you think that budget is a good starting point for negotiations?
Governor Snyder's energy plan, I think, is important to have in the mix, right? Because what's happened is, you know, frankly, I don't agree with every aspect of the governor's energy policy, but you know, he's really set off a different direction that's saying, let's really emphasize the innovation related to clean, renewable energy. You know, Representative Nesbitt's plan, I think, is trying to approach the energy security problem, which I appreciate, but from a perspective that I don't think is going to have as long term of benefit as, say, the plan that I'm supporting, or some combination of all these plans that really would, you know, make sure that we're incorporating efficiency, that we are pushing for strong short-term renewable energy gains, and doing so in a way that's going to keep jobs here, right here in Michigan.
Another part of Snyder's plan that I also wanted to mention was that while there is that 30 to 40% goal, it's not exactly a mandate in the way that the RPS is right now. I'm curious, do you think that we need to have a mandate? Is that an important part of any plan going forward?
Well, you just hit on one of the aspects of that I would disagree with the governor's plan. You have to have a mandate. You know, when it's a suggestion, it's not necessarily followed. And what we need to do is really set that expectation through the form of a mandate that industry needs to innovate, that we need to be promoting this as an opportunity to meet our energy needs, and, you know, tying it to consequences. The funny thing is, you know, when you talk to folks in the industry, we can hit these goals. I mean, that's not a problem. But the question is going to be whether we're really going to have to gear up and step up to the plate to achieve them. And suggestions don't get us there. Mandates do.
And you bring up the industry, and that's something that I wanted to ask about, too. I know that the prices for renewables have been declining for a while, of being able to pay for renewables, and that's made things easier. In Michigan, even now, we still have electricity that I think our prices are, I think, higher than both the Midwest and the U.S. How do you balance both costs and wanting to also promote the renewables at the same time?
So when we increase energy, renewable energies in a part of our portfolio, we can help decrease price. You know, this is one of those things that creating more energy that is cheaply produced, you know, really does then help the consumer sector of the market, because we can, you know, provide this secure, reliable energy at really affordable prices. And I think that's important, you know, when we're thinking about our long-term energy future. You know, the reality of this, though, is that it is going to look at some sort of change into sort of the economics of the energy industry. I had a really fascinating conversation with a local oil company who I think is doing some very innovative things. And, you know, the challenge was, help us from the state, help you, you know, make sure that you are continuing to innovate and invest in these renewable energy pieces, because we should not be afraid of that economic change. And if we're going to be in a place that's going to put us on the cutting edge of innovation. And we'll have to figure out a little bit differently how we price those pieces out. We're going to have to figure out a little bit out how we're going to maintain those facilities, you know, and that's a conversation that I think we can really partner with industry on, and they can be leading voices in. You know, this is not a place where government has all the answers. I mean, let's be honest, that's rarely the case. But I think this is really appropriate for government to set that expectation and you know, and draw the goal line and say by 2022, 20% of our energy is going to come from renewable sources. And we mean really renewable sources.
If we don't see these sorts of changes soon, are you worried if these changes don't end up happening?
I think we're at a really critical crossroads here in Michigan, but also nationally and internationally when it comes to energy. You know, we need to be figuring out ways that we're going to be providing, keeping the lights on and providing energy security for the next 100 years. We have to do it in a way that's not going to, you know, melt our ice caps, that's not going to cause asthma in our kids. And I think that's why the conversation that's happening right now is so critically important. You know, we're going to be making sort of the next generation investment in how we produce power. And so the question is, are we going to be reinvesting in technology that, you know, is 20, 30, 40 years old? Or are we going to say, now's the chance to go down a different path that's really going to be promoting those jobs that'll stay here in Michigan, that's going to be promoting activity that's going to help our health in the state, that's going to make sure that we, you know, can start tacking away a little bit, you know, bits and pieces at global warming. I think those are all things that are at the table right now, but it requires leadership, and it requires that Michigan, you know, steps up and says, we're going to take both the figure out what's in their short-term interest, short-term achievable, but really has a long-term impact for the good. And that's what I'm hoping we're going to be having a conversation about at the town hall meeting on Wednesday.
Sure. And last thing I wanted to ask too was, do you feel confident that even though the both houses of the legislature are Republican controlled right now, and we've got this Republican governor, they're still, you can still have enough of a say to make these sorts of changes?
Well, I don't think there's, despite the current political makeup, there is not a unanimous agreement on any side of the aisle or in any of the branches about what Michigan's energy policy should be for the future. Obviously, the governor's plan is different than the House Republican caucus's plan, which is different than some of the individual members, which is different than the Democratic plan, which is different from the Senate. So this is why I think the town hall opportunities are really important. Or, you know, meeting Representative Nesbitt at his coffee hours, or giving a call into Senator O'Brien, or letting the governor's office know. You know, Southwest Michigan can play a really vital role in what our energy future looks like. And I'm hoping that people are going to tune in, you know, into this conversation and really engage to help us come to some sort of compromise on what's the best for Michigan's future.
All right, great. Well, that's all I had for you. Is there anything else that you wanted to add or tell people?
Well, I'd invite you to the town hall meeting. That's going to be Wednesday at the Douglas Community Center. It's at 6:30. It's a free event. Everybody's welcome to attend. And, you know, I like town hall events because they let you have a conversation that you don't have to come knowing the answers. You don't have to come even with 100% agreement or 50% agreement. You know, let's have the conversation. And when we have these types of conversations, that's how we produce the best ideas.
All right, great. Well, thanks so much.
Well, thank you.